We'll reconvene for the administrative portion of our meeting. There are three items on the consent calendar. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
There's two items on discussion, and I'll have one to add at the end. And that is just to discuss potential utility rates after new federal tax code is adopted. But number one is the siting application fee for sound and flicker studies. Patrick?
Yeah, the question here is whether the commission would want to entertain doing sound and flicker studies in certain complaint situations and using the siting application fee for those studies.
Oddly enough, I was just asked about this last week at the interim committee meeting. So is this an active request?
Pardon me?
Is this an active request? Or is this more generally speaking?
Generally speaking today, yes.
But would it apply to something that we're thinking about?
It could. We haven't decided yet.
Okay.
Just in general.
So the question here is, I tend to think yes, except for I think that you will run into challenges in being consistent because we won't always have them. I mean, sometimes we will have already given them back. So then what do we do if we don't have any left, if we've already refunded them?
When we've refunded the fees?
Yeah.
Right. This is going forward.
I know, but I'm saying going forward. So say a project comes in, we say on this case, whatever it is, case X, we have siting fee dollars, we get a complaint, we use some, we do it. Siting case Y comes in, the thing's been operational for a while, we've refunded the siting fee dollars, we don't have any left, and we get a complaint. Then what do we do?
Well, there's the option. Well, let me back up just one step, and that would be, this question does involve keeping the siting fee for longer, not doing an interim refund necessarily as early. So that's one part of this question.
Okay, so but that's one of the proposals you'd say is like keep them for 5 years or 4 years or something
to
make sure.
Keep the fee longer, yep. The other part of what you were talking about is when we've already refunded the money, and if we wanted to do this, we'd have to go to the emergency committee. Well, we could ask for a portion of the fee back is one possibility. The other possibility is that we would go to the emergency commission and ask to assess another amount. That's the only way that I know to do that.
Boy, I hate sitting on application money for an extended period of time on a study that may or may not be requested. That seems
odd. We think that, you know, like if there was a complaint about the noise, it would be fairly soon after construction of
operation.
The facility.
Right.
But typically we give interim refunds about the time construction begins on a wind farm. And so we would be delaying that interim refund till the project was done.
Well, and in operation as well, producing.
And in operation, yep.
That's the only way to truly know what the impact will be. How comprehensive or good are the studies, the models, before the towers even go up?
The studies that are filed by the company with the application is what you're
right.
asking about.
Yeah, are they... Has anyone ever done a comparison? And here's the company's study, their, quote, findings in terms of shadow flicker. And does it hold true, or is it?
We haven't had a lot of complaints. I mean, that would be the only way I could think of to know that whether it works or not, is that we haven't had a lot of sound complaints. We've had some.
Well, I guess.
We had any shadow flicker complaints since.
The way I would respond to the question would be like the company does the study, the noise study, and they say their study indicates that the decibel level will be below the threshold that we typically accept. But then later on we'll get a complaint. And so the only way to check is to have some way of measuring the sound level.
So we tie that language into the approval process for the permit, that you've indicated it will be, here are the noise levels, and you have to maintain those noise levels?
Yes. That is in the that's in the order.
Right. So because of that...
Well, actually, what we're doing is we're accepting the company's statement that the decibel level will be below a certain level.
Yeah. They predict what it will be. Afterwards, if it's not what they predicted, well, you're pretty much screwed.
And quite honestly, this is a fairly significant policy decision, and I think we need a work session. Maybe look at what your proposal would be. But really, the question comes down to whose burden is it? Is it the people who are levying the complaint, who are mad about it? Should they have to pay? Or is it ours? Or is it the company's? And how do we address that? So I think we need a longer discussion.
Yeah, there are a number of questions related to this.
And I think in leading up to that, though, one of the big questions would be, we should just probably find, I don't know who you would even get to do that study.
Right.
And what kind of money are we talking about? Is it something that a regular person living nearby can do and have done to a level of professionalism that we would take it as something we would take into evidence?
And how are we doing it with other citing complaints?
We do have one complaint here where the company went and hired a third party to do a sound study on them. And so we have that sound study from that one.
Okay.
The sound study that we did receive, though, was done by the company themselves.
Yeah.
And there is some questions about, at least from the person who complained, about, I guess, the time period that came in during time periods of lower wind. And so the fact that we aren't able to actually contract or use any siting dollars right now, and we're relying on their studies, kind of makes it look like they'll be able to kind of couch the results to
But why can't you use siting fee dollars? What's stopping you from doing that? We use siting fee dollars to investigate some of the stuff on Dakota Access. How is it different?
It isn't.
That's correct. We just don't have it on hand.
Okay, there isn't any.
That's the main.
And we haven't done it in the past, so this is like bringing it to the commissioners.
Right, I get that, but I do think we need to be consistent across the board too. We have done it on other citing cases in other ways.
The question comes to mind to me that the fees are for processing the application. Is a complaint afterwards on noise part of the application? That's kind of a legal question.
Yeah, aren't we getting to the point where we should really notice a work session on this since we're diving deep, or can we keep?
No, I think we should just schedule a work session.
You might as well just put it on scheduling for a work session.
Yeah. It may draw some...
And we can try to do that as sooner versus later, since there's some active questions out there for you guys. Does that work?
Absolutely. Before we move to scheduling, though, one thing I want to point out for while they're planning for the work session is one difference. Like in Dakota Access, we were able to do that while they were still under construction, so we hadn't returned it, and so the money was available. With sound, the people might complain shortly after it started operation, but it would be after operation. With shadow flicker, you'd have to really wait for at least a year because it's a seasonal issue. And, you know, maybe even the first year they think it's just going to pass because it didn't do it for a long time. So this would really draw that out a long time. But
And also the inspection... The Dakota Access stuff came from our third-party inspectors versus a private citizen, so that's a difference,
too.
That's
a distinction. Let's move it to scheduling, and we'll take that up as number four. Compliance and decommissioning rules, Jack?
Commissioners, if you recall, we previously gave a determination to NextEra about when we wanted some sort of decommissioning plans to be brought in. as well as financial assurances. And during that discussion time period, or during that period when we were discussing that, the commission stated that they wanted to be consistent as well with the other companies and to follow up and provide a notice to the other companies as well. And what I've written up here is essentially just what you requested in the last discussion that we had. I think it was like 4 or 5 months ago. And this notice will be sent out to all interested parties in the wind industry. Jerry compiled a list, and I think the other Jerry Schmaltz also vetted the actual contacts of who this information will be provided to. And I think I've distributed to all of you and had a brief discussion already, so I just wanted an official approval to go forward with it.
What was the minimum level? There was some minimum, as I recall, that didn't have to comply with this, wasn't there?
At this point in time, with the decommissioning rules, there is not. Oh, it's like 500 kilowatts, Jerry?
Oh, yeah, that's the siting.
That's the siting.
I thought we had the opportunity to waive.
There is no opportunity at this point in time to waive, Commissioner. That's in the new rule package, that under 5 megawatt capacity factor.
Okay.
Have the opportunity to do that.
Oh, okay.
So this is essentially just to put all the companies on notice that the commission does want a compliant decommissioning plan and cost estimate by, I think it was July 1st, 2018, as well as the financial, just also put them on notice to double check to see if they're past the 10-year mark, that they are now required to actually have those financial assurances in place with us.
Okay. And what happens to all those in between 08 and this new one, that those just wait the 10 years?
The 2008 was just essentially, that's the 10-year mark.
But for everything?
After that?
Yeah.
After that, when they meet the 10-year mark, they will also have trigger. To have those financial assurances in place by rule.
And what was the time frame? What was the date for the bonding being or financial assurances upon operation, or was it upon construction? Facilities does that apply to? Permitted as of what date? Do you remember?
I think it started as the enactment of the actual rule, so that would be July 1st, 2017 is when they would actually have those in place.
I think
that's right.
I'm losing track of all these dates
because
there's the lighting things and, you know, the two categories there, and I can't keep them all straight. Okay.
Okay. You're seeing no objections. I think we'll go ahead and send that out.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay. The last thing, assuming that the new tax law is going to go into effect, I was thinking that perhaps staff should be doing a little bit of investigating on what the impact of that will be on regulated utilities, if it's as substantial as we hear in some news reports for corporations, there should be some pretty significant savings.
Right.
And I don't think that should just be a corporate benefit. That I think should be passed on to the ratepayers. one of the commissioners around the country that's been there a really, really long time had some comments on it and how they dealt with it in his state many years ago. And
who was it? Bob Anthony?
Yeah. They did a temporary rate and issued an order. And that allowed them to get close and make sure that, for the most part, it was going to be passed on to consumers immediately. But because it was a temporary rate, the benefit of that was it allowed the commission staff time to further keep digging to make sure as to the accuracy. And so I don't have like specific suggestions beyond that, but I just wanted to see what the other commissioners thought, whether we should have staff go in and start investigating that possibility, getting in touch with the companies, see what kind of tax savings are expected, and potentially moving ahead with at least discussing temporary rates.
Yeah. Now, the House had to re-vote. Did they do that this morning?
They hadn't yet when I last looked a couple hours ago.
No, I would agree, assuming that you know, it becomes finalized in its current form. We do have two active rate cases right now. Now we can certainly factor that into the discussion and see what type of projections the company has related to it.
Is that effective for next year, January 1, new taxes? Is that what the bill says?
I sure haven't read it, but okay. That's what I'm hearing, and I think we'll know a lot more in coming days once the voting is all done and they've had their ceremonies. And I'm sure within a week, the companies will know a lot more about it.
Yeah. FYI, South Dakota staff asked me if what we were doing with it. I said I didn't know yet.
So it really wouldn't affect this rate cases that are test years of 27.
No.
What are they test years? 2018. So it would. That would be a natural.
Be based on projections.
I heard.
No, I.
Drops from 42% to 20% or 22% or something like that.
You have to. Of course, the other part is you have to look at what is the effective rate. Because I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, the rate's dropping X percent and that the company is going to benefit from that exact amount. Yep. Because what is after, you know, if the deductions also change, you know, what is or isn't eligible in terms of deductions, there are a lot of moving parts to it. So it might even be something that we tap into some other outside expertise on as well, even within the building.
Likely to be, there's, I'm sure, a lot of things in there that we haven't heard about.
Yeah, so it's not just one item. But it's an excellent point. What is the impact? And if it truly is a positive impact as touted, that ratepayers should see some of that benefit. So I agree with that.
We'll have staff proceed with exploring it.
I like it.
Okay, then we'll go to scheduling. And I again have one more to add. We need to reschedule our February 15th commission meeting and informal hearing because we now have...
Yeah, I mentioned that one too.
So what did you have planned? I think we can just take these in order. I don't think anything conflicting with the others. What did you have planned for... cook-off?
I don't have anything planned yet, but the Super Bowl is February 4th. And so we've, in the past, tied it to that, around that time frame. So, like, the week before, I'm looking at that and seeing I might be gone a bunch. Then.
It's going to be in Minneapolis this year, you know.
I know. Isn't that exciting?
Hey.
It's going to be fantastic. The Vikings will not have to travel far at all.
It falls on a Sunday, too, so we'll be able to watch it.
I mean, that Friday we have a hearing, so that doesn't work so well. But that Thursday I could do it. We have a commission meeting Wednesday, and we have Tuesday might work, too, since we have that budget. And
we're talking February 6th.
January 30th?
Or January 30th.
Right before.
Well, I have Thursday open on the 1st of February.
Okay. Except for that's BARC.
Oh.
According to my schedule, if you want to avoid that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Tuesday would be, you don't have Tuesday?
I hadn't gotten back that far. Tuesday works for me.
Ryan?
I don't remember if there's anything else.
January 30th?
Calendar anywhere, is it?
Well,
we can put it on if...
Yeah.
And then if we have to alter
it. If something comes up, we'll move it.
Yeah.
Let's tentatively hold it for the 2nd then.
I'm just...
January 30th.
I'm very happy to see it.
Tuesday, January 30th.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, not the 2nd because we have a hearing that day.
I'm very happy to see it's actually on the scheduling. Trivia, conveniently, was not on scheduling. I had no idea until...
Trivia.
Last week, the Christmas.
Oh, that's always part of the Christmas.
Well, I didn't know that.
You tell them that.
What?
That was like trivia.
Oh.
Did not know.
That way you can't prepare.
I just happened to get a call that morning, someone tipping me off.
Well, I guess we don't always know what you don't know. That's the problem here. Yeah, some of these things we just feel like are passed along osmosis.
Sorry, actually, that was pretty funny that I even got a call. So it's like,
yeah, I'm okay. Still mad about it.
So let's move into March and look at those. It's the directors and I suppose I don't think we had scheduled a budget meeting, but the directors' meeting and then the subsequent regular meeting and informal.
So before we leave the chili cook-off, Daryl, could you put a tickler on your phone, on your calendar to send out, not just to put it on the calendar for all staff, but to send out a note like to everyone 2 weeks ahead.
Will do.
That, you know, it's coming up once we know for sure that date's going to work, and so people can start getting their recipes tested.
Yeah, but we can definitely wait until after the next regular meeting.
Yeah.
In case anything changes
sure.
on that one.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Sorry.
So then on March 28th, the regular commission meeting and informal hearing, and March 27th, the director's meeting, you have a conflict?
See, now that I'm on the MISO board, there's a few more meetings that I'm supposed to be at, and this is one of them. It's their MISO board annual meeting, or one of their meetings anyway. It's the 27th and 28th, and we have conflicts both those days.
So how far do you need to move
the
it?
Director's meeting, I don't know that I'd have to be here for that, so we could probably keep that one. But the commission meeting, maybe just to the next day, Thursday.
Does that leave you time to get from wherever you're at?
Jerry, those board meetings are usually wrapped up by Wednesday, aren't they? Isn't that the day, like if I were to leave later on Wednesday, if I remember Thursday was not a day that I needed to be there last time.
If you do a Wednesday afternoon, late afternoon flight out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they in Minneapolis or something?
No, this one's in New Orleans. Yeah. Yep. So.
Are those pretty intense meetings? We have had time to prepare for a regular meeting on the 29th. You think that's okay?
I think it is.
It works for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
It works for you guys.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The only problem is I do have an executive committee meeting on that Thursday. I would think that would be happening down there. I might need to double-check these a little bit more before we change this. Is it all right to hold this over for the next?
It's okay with me. It's pretty
I want to double-check that schedule to see if I need to be there on Thursday. I better make sure that that we're just not creating another conflict. So, okay.
Next up
add that to the next year weeks.
You got that down, Daryl?
Yep.
Next up is the formal hearing on Northern States Power's RTF.
So that was scheduled for sometime in February, and the parties wanted to extend it. Now we're looking at either the week of March 5th, well, preferred the week of March 5th.
Well, are there certain days before we start just guessing, or is there...
Well, I'm pretty open that week.
Okay, I'd like to... I think you should start on Monday. That is the 5th, and then I'm thinking 3 days for it, but...
So, Jerry, we have... No, I take that back. So we've got the 3 days, the 28th, of February, March 1st and 2nd is the NDU. We've got 3 days slated, or at least held for that, for MDU's case. And then, so we jump in the following Monday.
Oof, yeah, that's...
That's pretty tight.
Well,
that's not good.
I think so.
The week of the... The week
of
the
breather, a few days anyway.
The next dates that I have... Well, unless you wanted to shift it into later in the week of the 5th. But The next thing I have is the week of the 12th.
I'm okay with either. I was just pointing out we might want, say, that Monday and Tuesday, or at least the Monday to dust things off.
Because the week of the 12th would work, but we do have a commission meeting scheduled, so.
Yeah, the company preferred the 5th week. I don't know if
we could do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, probably.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Well, I jumped ahead and back here and was looking at some other things. Now I've lost track of what month we're even talking about.
March. We're looking at the 7th, 8th, and 9th now.
That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
That works for me.
That works for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Done?
Yep.
What time do you want to start that?
8:30.
Sure.
So March 7, 8, 9.
Good deal. Thank you.
Okay, then a work session for us regarding the siting application fee money for sound and flicker studies.
It's just us and staff, right?
Yeah, and I don't know, based on our previous discussion, do you think you are able to answer a lot of our questions? Are you going to need to talk to a potential contractor to get any more information? Or how much time do you think you need to prepare for a work session for us?
I don't think we need a lot of time, but we will be looking, you know, trying to get additional information on that.
Does anyone else have something? Because I'm open like the 17th, 18th, and 19th of January.
Say that again, Randy. Repeat those dates.
Anything going on the 17th through the 19th of January? After we return from the grain dealers and we have another thing on Tuesday, but
I mean, I have some meetings, but nothing like all
this
day.
Is pretty. We just have to pick a.
But what about doing it a little earlier? Could we do it like the first week of January? Or you guys? Like, say, the 4th or something?
I like the 4th.
Oh, wait. What about the 3rd? We have that formal hearing on the rulemaking.
Oh, yeah.
Could we do it that afternoon, like, say, 1:30?
What's that rule?
Pipeline safety, wind decommissioning.
Will we need 3 hours for those?
For the rulemaking?
For the hearing.
What do you think on yours?
I don't think that it's probably going to go as long as the decommission rules by any means.
Right.
Pipeline safety is
super quick.
So we might make it from 9 to noon anyway?
No. We'd need less time.
Right.
So maybe we could do like an 11 o'clock.
Another one in the afternoon.
When I said 9 to noon, I'm talking for the pipeline safety, for wind decommissioning, and for shadow flickers. So, yeah, 11. I mean, it's all in that block of time.
We've got a formal hearing, though, and this is just the work session.
We want to have this separation here.
No, I know. I'm just saying if we can knock it off at 11 with the other two, or if we want to go afternoon, either work for me.
Yeah, I'm open either. If you guys think we'll be done in time.
I'd prefer to leave plenty of time for that.
Okay.
If we came back at 1:30 for this work session, does that work for you guys?
Yep, it does.
1 or 1:30, doesn't matter.
I have a noon meeting, so
1:30.
1:30 would be better.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, and then we need to reschedule our February 15th meeting.
That was a Thursday, right? So I think what we were talking about was moving it back to the Wednesday.
Either Wednesday or Friday.
I think the reason why unless one of you guys had a conflict on Wednesday, but it was Mark and Nehruk.
Right, yeah.
And I was saying I can leave on Tuesday afternoon. Those are D.C. That's in D.C., and there's pretty good flights out of there later in the day. So the Wednesday schedule tends to be fairly light.
Does that work for you, too? Are you going to Nehruk?
I am going to Nehruk, but the meetings start on Sunday, so probably wouldn't be the worst thing to...
I'm usually ready to be leaving on Tuesday night. The times I've stayed till Wednesday, I've usually wished I had gotten to Tuesday night.
No, that was the case when in San Diego. I was thinking about some other meetings, another meeting, I should say, outside of Nehruk, but I could probably squeeze it in when I'm there.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I was ready to have left in the afternoon.
So does that Wednesday work then? Wednesday the 15th?
Afternoon?
For the commission meeting?
Yeah, I don't know that we have an informal
schedule. Well, the commission meeting.
So we could not have an informal, have a commission meeting in the afternoon, too, if we wanted this one.
Because the 15th doesn't work anymore.
Right, we scheduled...
That gas plant hearing.
The gas plant hearing.
Sure.
You want morning or afternoon?
Afternoon, just to be safe.
Okay.
Okay.
1:30?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it. Anything else? Good. We're adjourned. Thank you.